on? You got bumpy bumps? You got the bleeps, the creeps, and the sweeps? The bumps? I can't get it in that pocket. All right, it's going there then. Alrighty. So, I'm going to hit that because I was told to. So, we are going to, I don't want to say pick up where Holly left off, but we're going to pick up where Holly left off. Because when I just doted on how great of a job she did and how in season she was, she really was, I mean, spot on with where I had set the tone with 2 weeks ago in getting us prepped. And if you recall in that message, I was talking about, you know, the time of preparation is gone. We're no longer going to be preparing, correct? Because we can't afford to prepare. And then in that same breath, you know, we talked about how we need to get ready for battle and we need to start going to the battlefield. We need to start making our presence known. Holly then goes and she starts preaching out of Romans some really awesome and incredible things. And I think that it would be foolhardy and foolish of me not to acknowledge that that is right in line and right in spectrum with where God is taking us. So we are going to continue through this as we go back to battle. This is the. So first thing I want to do is pose a question to you. And the question is, what is your purpose? Not the, you know, faithful, what is your quest? What is your favorite color? None of those things, okay? But what is your purpose? And this question might baffle you. It might even, you know, make you ponder or think. But there are a lot of believers that fail to answer that question. And I don't know if it would shock you to know that. But here's the better question. What does your purpose have to do with the battle that lies ahead of us? This point is tremendous, and I believe Holly did a fantastic job in passing a test and delivering a timely message that demonstrated that exact point. She brought up some good challenges out of Romans, and after hearing her message, I sought the Lord, and he revealed to me something that I find is deep and profound on this battlefield right now. And I am going to share that with you today. So I hope you are prepared. Are we ready, church? Don't sound like you're ready. Are you ready, church? Yes. There we go. Sounds a little bit more encouraging. Turn with me then to Luke, please. 21st chapter. We've been here before. We've heard things from here before. So it shouldn't shock us or surprise us. But chapter 21, starting at verse 13 through 15, and then picking up and continuing on 25 through 28, we're going to talk about something that's pivotal and very real and very current. And this is talking about the coming of Christ. At 13, it says, "But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, so on and so forth." I'm going further than I need to, but you get the gist. Then at 25 through 28 says, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift your heads, because your redemption draws near." I want to point out something. When we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end times, to the things that have been promised, the things that we know that are on the horizon that we've talked about in that preparation, that season of preparation that we go through and that we've been going through, has been for this very day, this very time. Okay? Here's the catch. If you think you can go and build a camp and you can just bunker down and you can ride it through, I'm sorry, all the doomsday preppers are going to be very sad people. Because they're going to find that they spend a lot of inordinate amount of time prepping for something that will not make a difference. You can't hide from this. You cannot build a shelter to survive it. You cannot fortify it with iron and walls. You will not be able to avoid it. It's going to follow you. The reason why is because the battlefield is not a location on the planet. It is everywhere you exist. It is everywhere you are. So if you are bunkered down in your home with your family, guess what? That's still the battlefield. You're not hiding from it. It's there. Okay? But what is the battle not against? Because it's very confusing. Because after all, if the battlefield is everywhere I go, then I must be fighting against a toaster. Because when I'm in the kitchen in front of my toaster, that's my enemy. I don't know what it's identifying as currently, so I don't know. It could be my enemy. No, what is this battle not against? It's not against people. So if you're fighting against another human being, stop it. Because that's not your adversary. It is not against an ideology. It is not against whatever is being propagated around you as the new woke agenda. That's not your enemy, okay? It's not principles. Although we would like to make them our enemies, because after all, when we don't agree with something because it grinds up against our principles, we tend to take up an offense. Those are not our enemies. It is also not found in history. You will not be able to pull down the reins of history to win battles. They're not going to matter. We know the history. We know what has happened. But it is not going to stop what is going to transpire before you everywhere you are. The reason that is because the battle exists within you and I and everyone here. And you might be thinking, where are you going? Is this about my speech patterns? Is this about the last time I stubbed my toe and I said the S word? Is that what it's about? Nope. That's not it. The fight is indeed against something specific. It is against our conformity and it is against our intentions. I'll say that again. It is against our conformity and it is against our intentions. So, let's really get in and let's get going because this is just the starting point. I want us to be clear. We're not there yet. We haven't made it there yet. We're getting there. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Dill's got it behind me because he's the man. Should use my little things, little feather things. Chapter 4, starting at verse 13 and going on to 18. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. I want to make sure I have the right scripture here. I don't think I do. No, I'm serious. I don't think I have the right scripture. I think I didn't change this one out. No. Sorry, it's 1 Corinthians still. I apologize. Yeah, this didn't get changed. I messed up. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 27. I apologize, everybody. 1 Corinthians 9. Should have recognized that wasn't right. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 through 27. This is now going to make sense, I promise. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This specific illustration that is being used is what I am exactly talking about. We've heard this scripture many a times. We've talked about this ad nauseum in many a discussions. We've talked about it in discipleship. A lot of the times this comes out when we get discipled about our course and our journey and what we're doing and why we're doing things and what's the purpose behind what you're doing. Okay? I've sat in an office many, many times, this scripture abounding in my life, going, I have to be purposeful in what I'm doing. And then when you sit and you read this over and over and over again, God starts to open scriptures. Does anybody experience this? Everybody experience where you've read something and then you read it again and you read it again, and every time you read it, it just becomes more and more expansive. Well, here we go, because we're going to open this one up a little bit more. When we look at the crown, right, everyone's competing for a prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do, they being who? Not you, right? This wasn't that gender appropriation pronoun stuff back in the day. They didn't use that then, okay? They wasn't one person. They was them, okay? Not you and I. They're pursuant in the same race for a different prize. We are pursuant towards a different prize as well. What are we fighting for? We are fighting for an imperishable crown. They are fighting for one that will perish. Do you ever wonder what they're talking about? What's a crown for? Is it just, you know, a thing? Or does it have meaning? What does a crown represent? Crowns represent royalty, right? Sovereignty, right? But there are two crowns here. You have a crown that will perish and one that will not. So that means that you have basically then what? Two kings. You have two rulers. So in this case, this race is being ran, people who are pursuing a ruler on one side and a ruler on the other. That means there are definitive sides in this race. But you're going to understand something even more profound about this race when you start to uncork and unravel how really complex this race truly is. Because sometimes when I say a race, you immediately go to like a marathon race, right? You might go to like a 4K or something, right? Where everybody's got their number on and they're all running in the same direction, right? We're all running to the same finish line. Right? And then we want to get there first so we can break that little band and get our photo finishes, whatever. Maybe it's horses. You know, if you're somebody over here in this general region, you might be involved in races that involve horses where they go around a circle track. The only thing that is definitive in a race is that there is a what? A start and a finish. Okay? More clearly, there's definitely a finish. Because not everybody who enters the race is maybe going to start at the same point. This is done shown in the Olympics. When you actually go and set up a, you know, triathlon or whatever type of thing, people are paced out in different spots so that it becomes a fair or equal race. But what is important in the demonstration that's to follow is exactly how the race is conducted. And the illustration that again is given in here, okay, says in verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I find this to be the most profound part of this passage. Because when you look at an individual who runs with uncertainty, or a runner who is just violently pounding and beating at the air, they're doing something distinctively different than the person who is just calmly paced and running their race. When you see those individuals, what are they doing? If you run and you're just pounding the air and you're running with your fists flailing wildly, are you accomplishing something beneficial towards achieving the goal? Has anybody ever done this action? Like ran literally flailing your arms around like a maniac. By the way, if you're like into anime and stuff, running with your arms behind your back does not make you go faster. Okay? None of these things make you go faster. They actually do the exact opposite. They do what? They slow you down. They'll drag you out. Because they're using energy. You're using energy and you're making additional actions that are not congruent with the main goal. So when you do this, when he uses this illustration, he's literally talking about something specific, and that is wasting effort on fruitless actions and deeds. Now, what does this all have to do with the battle? Because I've laid out a pretty clean line of things. Here we go. The Lord showed me that this race has been going on, and here's the catch. It's rigged. Newsflash. The race is completely rigged. It's rigged 100%. That's it. So get used to it, okay? We also should understand this, that if we already talked about there's two crowns, right? That means there's two rulers that are both participating in the same race, right? With their people participating in that race, okay? That means that, guess what? If you're on Team God, you're probably going to be running according to the rules. But if you're not on Team God, you are probably going to be doing what? You're going to be cheating. You're going to be lying, you're going to be cheating, you're going to be doing everything under the sun. No holds barred. Again, because the race is rigged. It allows for them to cheat. Where are you going, Pastor? What do we engage in, though? What do we engage in? Do we engage in trying to prove to the judges that, oh, he cheated. Oh, he did this. Oh, wait, he wasn't running in his lane. Does this sound like anything particular going on maybe currently today? Maybe this will trigger a few people in here. So that's okay. Prepare. This is a trigger alert. This is the world we currently live in. It is unfair. From free speech, and I'm going to put that in quotes now because what you thought you had was free speech is gone. You're being denied. Businesses being unlawfully censored and closed. People being attacked and judged simply by association. Not only was this foretold and promised, but it's actually just a distraction. Everything that we have been foretold, warned about the coming times, the coming days, all these things that would come against us. It wasn't like a badge of honor that you needed to go and get. Do you think when Paul and Silas got locked up in prison, that was something that, oh, well, you need to go and do this in order to get your badge, your prison badge. Once you get your, you know, our network has this thing, you're not a real pastor until you've gone to prison. Well, I guess I'm not a real pastor yet. Yeah, that's true. That's what they say. The men do, I should say. I don't know about the women folk. Our men brag about their prison badges. Here's the thing. That's not what it's about. It could have easily been a distraction for Paul and Silas, but Paul and Silas proved to do what they were supposed to do in midst of the distraction. But all these things are indeed just a distraction. Did they not have a right to turn around and say that they were unlawfully locked up? Yeah, absolutely. They were completely unlawfully locked up. Okay? They were done wrong terribly. But yet still, that's not their focus. That was not their complaint. Okay? These are doors that the enemy has opened long before we got here, or they just opened to hatch another scheme. The distraction is to have us preoccupied with trying to close these doors. It's a fruitless effort. After all, even if you did manage to close the stupid door that the enemy just opened, you seem to forget something. Who currently holds the keys to this world? He does. So you could close that door, lock it, deadbolt it. He's just going to go over and go. Nice try, though. Good effort. boy, you just wasted a lot of time. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how I feel. I don't like wasting time. I don't. I feel like crud every time I feel like I wasted time on something that was fruitless and not productive. I don't enjoy that. It's not an experience I like to have. So I try to avoid things that waste time. I try to avoid things. So if we understand that this dilemma is before us, we are in a rigged race. The enemy is going around and he is opening all of these doors. Some of these have been open for eons, okay? That are just pouring out floods of demonic activity, floods of all kinds of things that are meant to trip you up and ruin your objective of getting across that finish line. These doors are not going to matter if you try to close them. So why are we trying? Why have we, the body of Christ, spent an inordinate amount of time trying to close doors that mean nothing if you close them? I will go into an example. I understand Parler has been shut down. Why are people so worried and concerned about a social media site that is closed because, after all, they're just silencing conservative voices? Why are you trying to shut a door? Why are you trying to shut it, though? If you keep trying to shut it, they're just going to go and attack something else. It's not going to stop. It's not going to cease. It's not going to desist. Why? Because the race is rigged. The race is designed against you. It's not designed for you. The race was never designed for you to complete in that orderly fashion. You're not eliminating the cheaters so you can just march your way through to victory. Yay. When we make it across that finish line, we're going to look like we just got battered, beaten by the gauntlet of death. You'll be limping across the finish line. That should be our badge of honor. So here's the deal. If we understand that these doors are open, that they're pointless if you try to close them, it's rigged, it seems unfair, it seems like, man, what am I doing this for? What's the point, Pastor? What's the point? If all they're going to do is cheat, and all they're going to do is get their way, and all they're going to do is lie, and tell you that this is this, and this is that, and I'm sitting here banging on the drum of truth going, no, they're wrong, they're wrong, but they don't listen. Are you going to take your toys and go home? Are you going to quit running the race? Are you going to give up? What's our outlet? What's our recourse, church? It doesn't seem like this is a good message, right? It doesn't seem like this is the way to win. Well, there is a way to win. Here's the problem. We've been so distracted in trying to close doors, we forgot a truth. A very important truth. The truth is that we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to worry about those doors, because everywhere my foot touches, I am under an open door, the open door of heaven that goes everywhere I go. And out of that open door of heaven, I have victory that abounds everywhere I go. And if you don't, and you're walking out to go close those doors, guess what you're doing? You're wasting time. This might seem like another message that you've heard before. Trust me when I tell you, it's not that same message. This is not a tank message. This is not an umbrella message. This is not that same thing. This has to do with very much a very real problem and a very real existence that we have forgotten. And I hope you guys will follow along. Revelations. If you're not sure what book that is, it's the last one. Remember though, once you start reading it, you are accountable for it. That's true. Chapter 3. And this is about us. Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia. Not the city. That's a liberal cesspool. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I want to focus on that. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. That's the door that when you walk is the Church of Philadelphia, the faithful church. When you walk as that church, that is your open door that no one can shut. I know your work, see? I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I indeed will make those of the synagogues of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. There's that crown again. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. See, what we just read there is clear, pivotal, 100% founded, supported method to the victory of the race. If you abide in a faithful church, guess what? This process of walking out every day to the battlefield, okay? Knowing that it's a rigged race, knowing that you're racing for something that the rest of the world doesn't support or doesn't jive with because they're an enemy to God, okay? Just because you're out there in that world, that does not mean you succumb to those things. Yes, is it hard? Yeah, it is. But we have to remain what? Faithful. Faithful is not easy. No one said it was, but you want to know how you can remain faithful? Be sold out. Be sold out. You've heard this before, but maybe you didn't know that this is what sold out means. It means submitted, obedient, loving, devoted, open, unwavering, and trusting. S-O-L-D-O-U-T. I like acronyms. Sorry, I do. But we exist under this open door. Everywhere we go, every place our feet touch the ground, that door that is open above you is always open. It's not shut. This is where we get it twisted. This is where we have messed up. This is where we have gotten it wrong. I'm saying that we've gotten it wrong because I know I myself have gotten it wrong. So this isn't a judgment of everybody who's in the room and I'm just sitting here pointing fingers like, no, no, no. I guilty too. I among you. Do we understand that when Jesus walked this earth, he walked under that same open door? Did you know that? He opened it. So, yeah. But he clearly demonstrated the usage of what it means to walk and live and operate and run this very race under this open door. We spend an inordinate amount of time, like I said, trying to go around shutting doors, thinking that we're gaining ground, we're taking the land, we're victory, right? We turn around, we have things about how, well, you need to implement this into your life. You need to do better. You need to take what the Lord has said and you need to start doing it. We've heard this. I've preached it. I know. What am I saying? But did Jesus just go around just doing whatever he felt like? Did he just go around doing what Scripture said? No. He did, in a sense, But he did it just a little bit differently because, after all, if he was doing what Scripture was saying, the Pharisees wouldn't have had a problem with him, right? They wouldn't have cared because they're like, oh, yeah, he's just one of us. He wasn't just one of them. Because, after all, he walked around under that open door having God go, I want you to say this. And then he would go, yes, Lord. Blah. And the Pharisees would have went, what? No, you can't say those things. And then he would go, all right, now what, Lord? And the Lord said, I want you to do this. And then he would go do this. And the Pharisees would go, no, stop it. Don't do that. You're leading them away from us. This is pivotal, church, because when you walk under that open door that God is in, right standing in right communion with you at that very moment. Do you understand that? I'm going to rephrase that because I think maybe we have it twisted. We think that we have to do something. You think you have to do something to open the door. Go back and read what I said. It's open, and who can shut it? No one. So is it shut? No. It's not shut. We have to stop living in a way, in a lifestyle of living that we think that we've somehow messed it up and shut the door. And we're knocking on it going, Lord, come on, open. There's a time and place where, guess what? That door will be shut. But as far as I know, right now, it's not. So if we know that it's not shut, and we know that it's open, and everywhere I go, it's above me, open, communion to God is clear, guess what? The only reason why we're not doing it is because we're ignoring it. Because we're busy trying to close doors that don't do anything. You're running around super distracted thinking you're doing God's work because, after all, it lines up with God's plan. Oh, I read here in the Bible it says that, you know, all life is important. So I need to go and park myself in front of abortion mills day in and day out because, after all life is sacred and I need to stop them from killing babies. Guess what? You are going to waste a lot of time. I'm not disagreeing that babies are important. I'm not disagreeing that all life matters. And I'm not disagreeing that this is an evil, evil scheme. That door that was opened a long, long time ago that will never close. If it's never going to close, the difference that you're making, that you think you're doing because you're trying to stop abortions from happening, is a waste of time. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that I don't like it. I don't. I think it's evil. But again, go back to what I said about the race. Is the race going to be fair? No. Is it going to be filled and riddled with a bunch of evil things that are going on around us? Yes. Did you do it? No. Did you open the door? No. You're not responsible for it. It's not your fault. We have to get it through our heads that we are not here to redeem the evil, wicked schemes. We're here to redeem those who are lost because of the evil, wicked schemes. We have to get it straight. If we continue to try and do all these excessive deeds that we think we're going to stop. It's like, and you want to know how it started? I'm going to give you the worst door that was open. It was the you can do it easier door. The easy button door. I hate that button. Burn it, please. It's an evil button because it has lied to you. It's made it seem like if we could only, and I'm going to stay with this because I think it's a good illustration. If we could only just close all the abortion mills, abortions will stop. Let me be clear. If you had 18 presidents in a row that all killed Roe versus Wade and abortions were completely illegal and criminalized, people would still be throwing their wives down the stairs. Why? Because it's not going to stop. It's evil. Evil and wickedness doesn't stop because you think you closed the door. He just goes, pulls out the key, unlocks it, flails it open, and just when you thought it was bad before, it just got worse. Because evil is evil. And here's the catch, folks. Guess what's coming soon to a theater near you? They're going to be calling good what? And evil, welcome to the world of the rigged race. Welcome to the world of the rigged race. You're demonized already, so stop trying to close the door that's making you demonized. Embrace and enjoy the wonderful world of you're demonized. Get over it. So what are we supposed to do then? Here we go. I'm giving it to you, and I'm giving it to you the best possible way I know, because I'm giving it to you right out of Psalms. Psalm 118. Gonna take a minute to get there. It's a lot further away than where I was previously. Going from Revelations to Psalm, it's like, whoo! More than half. Psalm 118. Everybody there? If you are, good. 5 through 9, and then we're going to cut down to 13 through 25 just because it's long and I don't want to read it all, but you can read it all in your own time, but you'll get the point. Starting at 5, I called on the Lord in distress. How many people are in distress? It's okay. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Who? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. I don't hear enough amens. I need to hear more amens. Come on. I think they were onto something here. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So stop worrying about what next president's going to fix your problems. That door is open and it will not be closed. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Right? Come on, that's government. Stop trusting government. They ain't going to help you no more. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. That's our homes. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I love when things are repeated. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. Let's go back to that open door, right? If that gate is open, thanks be to God, then guess what we should be doing because we walk in that open gate everywhere we go. Let's praise him in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. Who's the righteous? I'm all by myself. Come on, righteous people. Let's go. Because I'm not, if I'm going by myself, I'm going to be sad. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, that is Jesus Christ. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. See, we have to recognize that is our battle cry. That is how we go to the battlefield. That is everywhere you touch ground, everywhere you set foot, because again, that race is rigged. Everywhere you go, there's a door that's open that's flooding this place full of evil and wicked schemes. Everywhere you go is the battlefield. You think you're safe at home? Mother against father, daughter against brother. All that's going to happen. Get used to that too, by the way. I know your kids are awesome while they're still now your kids, but once they start to grow up, they might start getting that wonderful brain of theirs filled with all kinds of evil and wickedness that they're going to bring home and go, hey, by the way, dad, you're wrong. And you go, come back to me when you get smarter. You're not equipped to fight this battle. The race we are running is our battleground. And I would compare it to those races that you might have seen before, the Tough Mudders or the Spartan race or whatever the one that electrocutes you is. Don't run those. Those are stupid, okay? They're just dumb. The race of life is hard enough. You don't need to go and make it harder by doing those, okay? These races are stacked against you, and they're designed to challenge the runners that are in it. In our case, the race is riddled with open doors that the enemy has opened, flooding our path with garbage and attacking us from all sides. And instinctively, we think that if we close the door, we will eliminate the problem and allow for an easier race. But sadly, that is not true. We should remain focused on the door that matters and run in a way that is with certainty. This certainty is that we will be attacked and we will be persecuted. We will be demonized and we will be ridiculed, but what we can guarantee is that no harm will befall us. We know that we have already won the battle. The real question is, will we actually be at the finish line when time is up, or have the distractions kept us off our mark? See, remember I said that that race has a finish line? You actually have to get there. You have to cross the line. Or you could be very much one of those people, and I hate saying this because it's super cliche, who gets left behind. They didn't make a movie series about it because, oh, well, it's fiction. No, they made a movie series about it because it's going to be a very real reality for a lot of believers who think that they're crossing the finish line. But they have fallen short because they got super distracted trying to close doors. Please be aware. The enemy is not as stupid as you want him to think, that you want him to be. You might want him to be really dumb, and you might think, well, I saw that coming a mile away. Satan, you need to try harder. And he goes, yeah, well, you just missed your bus. What? Actually, he saw that happen. A guy got into a heated argument with somebody. Guy came out of thin air, and he just started poking at him, and he started making weird accolades and stuff. And the guy got angry with him, and he's like, what are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you're so stupid. I can't believe you would even think that. That's ridiculous. And he says, well, it worked, didn't it? He says, what do you mean? He's like, you just missed your bus. His whole objective was to sabotage him just to make him miss his bus. People will have too much time on their hands because they're being afforded by a corrupt government to give them too much time on their hands. So here's your challenge, church. First challenge I'm going to give to you is you need to become observant. You need to be like the watchman on the wall. You need to start being observant. Because here's the thing. I make those accolades and I talk about those doors and we go amen and we say that. But my question to you is what door are you still trying to currently close? Because I bet you, if you sit down and you really observe and pay attention, you find yourself spending an inordinate amount of time trying to shut a door somewhere. You're trying to. I guarantee it. I had to go through and examine myself personally before I even wrote all this down. Remember, I get dibs. I go through it before you. So I went through and I'm like, Lord, there's that door. There's that door. There's that door. There's that door. Oh, okay. You got me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to keep trying. Because it's ill effort. It's not going to get anywhere. Here's another question for you. At the end of the day, are you tired and exhausted? Are you spent? That could very well be because you were very preoccupied with things that don't matter. Because after all, you could be just simply beating your fist against the air, wasting a lot of energy and a lot of effort on things that aren't going to make a difference. Do you find yourself exhausted more often than you're energized? Again, this could be that result. If we are observant, we will see these doors for what they are and not even give them the room or time of day. We will give all of our attention and our focus to our God and our King and what he wants to do with us and before us. Remember, I used that illustration of Jesus. If we're going to be called Christians and we're going to be ridiculed for being little Christ, I think it's about time we actually started doing exactly what he does, right? Walking under that open heaven and knowing that God is constantly talking and giving us instruction, and we just need to start opening our mouth and saying what he tells us to say and doing what he tells us to do. Stop worrying about what everybody thinks of you. Stop worrying about what you think is going to happen because you did it. Stop worrying about results. Just be faithful in Jesus' name. Are we ready, church? Do you think we can handle it? I don't think you can handle it. I don't think you can handle it. I don't think I can handle it, but that's okay. Because you know what? We're not in it by ourselves. We're in it together. Right? The body of Christ is not just an eyeball on a table. It's the whole body working together. We can do this together. I'd like to know that when it's time and he's coming back, that we're that faithful church that was doing what it was supposed to do when it's time to go. Not busy trying to shut doors that don't matter. Amen? Amen. So Father, have your way with us, God. Have your perfect will with us, God. Have everything that we have learned and sat under today, God, that Lord, we understand and comprehend this very one truth. That yeah, if we mess up and we're in sin, yeah, that communication is being blocked, but it's not that the door's shut. It's just that the demons are running amok and distracting us from hearing what you are saying, God. That door doesn't get shut. No one can shut it. So let us kill the distractions. Let us kill the things that are trying to vie for our attention, those doors that we're trying to shut, and let us focus and fixate on the one door that matters, the door that can never be shut, that we know that by this door we have perfect, clear communication and communion with you, that we can go and do the things you say and accomplish your perfect will here on heaven, God, redeeming those who do not know you back to you, God. We know what the Great Commission is. We know what Jesus' purpose and plan on this earth was, and we know what he means. So let us be found faithful, God, in the fields, doing what you've called us to do. I pray that your word finds fertile soil in our hearts, that there is conviction, God, to get these things sorted out and fixed in our lives, God, so that we can be effective in winning the battle for you, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.